Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Everybody knows the story about Joseph. What a great example of a faithful person that's willing to do his job no matter what happens to his life. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful example. Joseph. You say he's the type of Christ many, many, many times over. More than anybody else in the Bible, he's the type of Christ. And as we look at this text right here, probably everybody here knows the story where Joseph, well, we're going to read some verses and we're going to skip some and we'll get to where we're going and maybe end up where we're supposed to be. Chapter 39, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Can I just say right there, just because things aren't going like you and I think they should, don't mean that God ain't using us. You know, a lot of times we'll get thinking, "Well, the Lord ain't blessing me. All these troubles is going in my life." Now, things aren't clear to you and I. But God could be using you in the midst of all of that. You just don't know. Just maybe your faithfulness alone. All we know about Joseph right here is he just being faithful. He said, "Oh, I know about the dreams, and I know about how he told his brothers that they was going to bow down, and he told his dad that he was going to have to bow." And you know what? You know what his dad said? His dad rebuked him. He rebuked him. That didn't change nothing to Joseph's heart. Joseph, one had a dream. And you have a dream. Anybody had a dream, ever had a dream that was real? Hold your hand up, Faith. Anybody else ever had a dream that was real? My wife has psychotic dreams. I think she's become a psycho. She dreamed the other night that a rhinoceros was coming up out of the ocean. And she was trying to kick him back into the water. Guess who really was the rhinoceros? Brother Mike, I had to wake her up and stop that. I said, "Here, Faith, it's 3:30 in the morning." I said, "Hey." She said, "What?" I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I was having a bad dream." I said, "You pawing me to death." And then she couldn't go back to sleep for laughing about it. I said, "This ain't funny. I'm bruised." Amen. You might think things ain't going like you thought they should, but I don't know what that had to do with all that. Dreaming, that's what I was talking about, dreaming. So then you know the story about how that Potiphar's wife pursues Joseph. And she literally just comes on to him in a way that she grabs a hold to him. I mean, she's got him within her grasp. You know what happened once in a while? If you ain't careful, me and you will slip up and the little devil will get a hold of us. I'm wanting to think this, but I might be wrong, but I'm wanting to think that she probably was a kind of an attractive woman. He was a man of position and power. They usually have a way of love ain't involved. Love ain't got nothing to do with it. I ain't singing that. I'm just telling you. But that has a way of grabbing hold to women. And so she pursues Joseph. And Joseph did the most Christian thing that anybody could do. He ran. You say, oh, he ought not to run. He ought to face that giant. No. No, he's right in the will of God. He took off and... Oftentimes we think, no, I'm going to face this enemy. That enemy might kill you. And so she's got to cover her tracks. And the best way to do it is to lie on Joseph. So let's read on. Verse 19, and it came to pass when his master, talking about Potiphar, heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Hey, what do you mean? Potiphar got mad. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Just a little reminder. I've already said that one time. Just a little reminder. Just a little reminder that you can be in the place all alone. I'm going to say that again. Just a reminder that you can be in a place all alone and God still be with you. And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Father, I pray you touch my heart for just a little while. God, I sure need you tonight. I'm thankful tonight that all these good folks have come out. I'm thankful, God, for those that might be watching. Sister Carol, Lord, maybe Brother Albert, I don't know. Lord, whoever, Sister Barbara, I pray, God, for her that you touch her body and help her. God, others that may be sick, God, that we're not even mentioning right now. God, how I pray for Evan, God, that you touch her body. Oh, God in heaven, I don't know how, I don't know why. God, I don't know nothing, but God, I know, Lord, your touch is powerful. God, all it would take is you to say so. Oh, God, please. Pray for Sister Emily, Brother Micah. Help this little mama, this little daddy. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. We don't really know exactly to what extent the anger of Potiphar was at. But his wrath was kindled. He was mad enough that it was recorded in the Bible that his wrath was kindled. Sometimes you have to understand maybe what the word wrath is to understand what kind of rebuttal might come from it. Now, I've heard people say before they was mad, but they didn't look mad. Then I've seen people that said that they really wasn't mad, but boy, when they blew up, it was all over. And it was just a spur of the moment. When they got mad, Brother Gary, it was quick. It was something I told my wife last night. I listened to a message by a preacher, and he was talking about his daddy was different than his mama. I don't know if you listened to this. And he said his daddy would get mad. His daddy was a Creole Cajun, a Frenchman. And said his daddy would get mad, and his daddy, I mean, as soon as he got mad, he didn't think about it. Wasn't, I'm gonna think on this thing for a while, and I'm gonna talk to you about this situation. He said his daddy got mad, and it was bam, right there, just. He said, son, I mean, before you knew what was happening, he's whipping you. My wife's one of them. You want to shout, holler, whatever. And he said, but he said in 20 minutes he'd give you the shirt off his back. He said, now my mama. He said, my mama was different. He said, my mama would lay in the grass and wait on you. What I'm fixing to say, this is a Baptist preacher, and he don't believe in this terminology I'm fixing to use, but he just used this talking about how to express how his mama was, okay? He said his daddy's in heaven. He said his mama's in purgatory. And the reason she's in purgatory is because she went to heaven and she seen somebody that she was mad with on earth and still ain't got over it, wasn't over it in heaven. So God just sent her out so she'd get over it, you know. Some people take them a while to get over it. Talk about one lady that had a boy that every young boy has heard their mama say this, I'm going to the store and I don't want nobody's house while I'm gone. Every young person's heard that somewhere along the line. And he said this lady told her son, says, I'm going to the store. And I'm telling you, don't bring the boys over to this house. I'm talking about wrath. I'm talking about Potiphar's wrath. I'm talking about a man's wrath that just exploded because somebody, he thinks, somebody was pursuing his wife. I'd say that's worthy to have wrath about. Amen. All right. And she told you, she said, don't bring no boys in this house now. And said when she got back, said that yard was full of them. And said she told him, she said, you get rid of them boys and I'll deal with you when they're gone. And said that he turned around and looked at his mama and cussed her. And said she went in the house and got the gun and come back and shot him. Her wrath came forth. Now she didn't kill him. Because she scooped him up and took him down to the hospital and helped the doctors try to mend him back to life. She got over it right quick like. You see what I'm saying? Some of y'all might have had some parents like that. I don't know. I think Daddy was like that. Daddy get mad, and you better move, evacuate. And in 30, 40 minutes, I mean, it's like he's okay again, wasn't he? But I'm telling you, in that 30 minute time frame, you better pray for the rapture. They don't tell them what might happen. It wasn't going to be good. I can promise you. How do you think Potiphar felt? The Bible says his wrath was kindled. It got hot. It was ablaze. It was burning. We see this text right here. We see something, what had provoked the punishment of now that Joseph's in prison, and we're thinking, how in the world? Well, let me say this, as we look in verse 20 right here, the Bible says this, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. You wouldn't think this after the way that his wrath has just excelled from 0 to 120, just like that. And in that day, during that time, it was a custom of that time, if something like this happened, according to the Jewish historians, if something like this happened, they didn't put them in prison, they killed them. But Potiphar puts him in prison. I'd say he had a little bit of pity on him. I got to think about that. I got to look at that. I thought, why would he have pity on him? I mean, he didn't just put him in prison. There's some prisons a whole lot worse than other prisons. Ain't that right, sister? Jerry Mundy, old friend of ours from way back, then with Rock of Ages, I don't know how many years, probably 40 years or better maybe, I don't know. Jerry Mundy told me one time, he said, of all the prisons I've ever been to, he said, there's one outside between Baxley and Lyons, Georgia. I think it's called Reedsville. Is that right? Is that right? George, he says, I'm telling you, he said, you can pull into the parking lot and the hair will start standing up on your body. You've been there before? I ain't never been there. He said, I'm telling you, he said, it's the eeriest place I've ever been to. And he's been to a Rock of Ages. He's been in a lot of different prisons. I mean, they're just some prisons. I'm telling you, there's some people there. They're the wickedest of the wicked. They're the coldest hearted people that exist. And all it would take, was for whatever's in them to get out and let the Holy Ghost get in. Well, it changed me and you. Made a difference in our life when we trusted the Lord, did it? Amen. I believe it helped for them too. But Potiphar, he didn't put him into one of them kind of prisons, which you would think he would have done because, I mean, you know, he was accused of. They put him into a prison where the king had prisoners. Maybe somebody that worked for the king that just didn't make bread just right. I think we read about him, didn't we? Maybe somebody that worked for the king that didn't welcome people into his home just like he wanted them to welcome them. Or maybe they were supposed to buzz on over. The butler went to prison. You agree with me if you want to on this. I really don't care. But I think it's an act of God and holiness when people from a church are cordial to visitors. Amen. You say, but I'm just not that kind of person. Get to being one. Amen. 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 Get stand in line to welcome this lady here on a Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. You say, well, what if I don't know them? What if I don't know them? I don't let that stand in the way. Now, in school, I let that stand in the way. Because I was ultra bashful back then, extra bashful. But God helped me with that. And I found out this. If you're going to do something for God, if you're going to have a ministry with the Lord, that's something that God will have to help you to get over and get away from you. That's something, and listen, I can't do it, and you can't do it, and they can't do it for you, but you can do it through the Holy Ghost doing it. That's on the way. He had pity on him. I mean, pity. He had pity on him. He didn't put him in a worse prison. He put him in a prison where the keeper of the prison saw there was something special about him. I got to think about why I believe he didn't put him in the worst prison? I don't believe Potiphar believed his wife. I believe that he just probably this wasn't the first time this happened. This probably, Brother Gary, I mean, this probably wasn't the first time that she's made an accusation, but this was probably the first time she's made an accusation against one of God's men. But this time, this is Joseph. And if you've read your Bible any at all, you'll know how special Joseph is in the Bible. Amen. So that's why I believe it stands out. I believe that's why this story has to be told. That's why we saw where Joseph ran. That's why the most precious thing that Joseph owned in all of his life was a jacket, and he ran and left his jacket behind. we see right here, we see that in verse 20, that Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, in a place where the king's prisoners, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and there he was in the prison. Would you agree with me maybe that this was kind of painful? Was it hurtful? He just left the palace. Listen to me close. He just left the palace. And he ain't done nothing wrong. You going to tell me this ain't painful? You going to tell me, Brother John, this didn't hurt him? I mean, we get hurt over things that is so silly. I mean, because maybe I slipped past you and didn't shake your hand. I walked by and I didn't say, hey, that was a mighty good song, son. I might have forgot. I might have had my mind distracted. Somebody's already asked me about something else for tomorrow and get my feelings hurt. No. This ain't the kind of hurt Joseph's facing. This ain't the kind of pain Joseph's facing.
Right.
Joseph is facing something because now, not only did he obey the Lord when he told his brothers about the dream that he had, not only did he obey the Lord when he told his father about the dream that he had, also his brothers sold him into slavery. And they sold him to Potiphar. And now Potiphar's wife has lied on him, and now he's in prison. I mean, listen, next time you want to feel bad for yourself, read this story. Amen. Next time nobody shakes your hand, read this story. Next time they didn't pull you into the parking place right there in front of the church, read this story. Would you agree with me? I believe he was terribly mistreated. This is what makes him so much of a type of Christ. The pain that he's going through. He lost his freedom. He was just going about to and fro doing whatever he needed to do in Potiphar's house. He was in charge. Everything was at his command. He lost his freedom. Nobody cared about his feeling. Nobody cared about that hurt in his heart. Nobody ever come to him and said, hey, who's your daddy? I mean, you ever read that in the Bible? Anybody ever question Joseph? Tell me something about your dad. I mean, he knows that them boys sold him and he don't even know. He don't know. All he knows is this. One day, the Holy Ghost of God told him that them boys was going to bow down to him. That's what he's got. That's what he's holding to. And he's waiting on that day to come, but he don't know when. But I'm going to be honest with you. If that would have been me, going through all that stuff that he went through, I'd have probably figured in my mind, them boys won't never bow to me. Them boys ain't never going to. Them, my mom and dad, I ain't never going to see them again. I probably won't even ever see my brothers again. That's why when you read over there, when them boys came, and Joseph just went off and wept. What is something about? There's something about God working things out. I read that article about that little old boy over there, that alligator drug in that water down there in Orlando, but Jeff. I read about that. And in my mind, I'm just going to be honest now, this is just in my mind. I'm thinking that gator ate that child. They didn't find him. They didn't find him. And this is just the way I'm thinking. I was coming home yesterday. I was on 341 coming out of Jessup, Brunswick, about halfway between Gardeye and Sterling. And I saw something in the road. And I thought it was a big old fox squirrel. How many of y'all know what a fox squirrel is? You don't hardly see them no more, do you? I thought it was a big old fox squirrel, Brother Gary. And I got up there, I was talking to Joy Crawford on the phone, and I says, hold on a second, there's something crossing the road right here. It looks like a big old fox squirrel. I got up there. It was a gator. In the daylight. About 4 foot long, 3 or 4 foot long. There's so many of them. They're everywhere. They're overpopulating. And if they don't do something, I'm telling you, you live around a body of water, you better watch your children outside. You hear me? They say everywhere in North Florida, South Georgia, where there's a body of water, there's a gator in it. My mother-in-law had a little pond out there where Ashley and David lives now. There was a gator in there. You better watch them. You better watch them. And when it gets dry, they come look. They walk and they go and they're looking for water. And they'll take a snack along the way. Amen. Don't be one. Amen. You look like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich standing out there. I mean, his feelings, he lost his freedom, he lost his feet. He lost his face. I wonder this, Brother John, while he's in prison, I wonder what he's thinking about his testimony. I wonder, while he is down there in the bottom, you know what's going in his mind. I wonder if they're spreading the word that I came on to that woman. Well, she tried. She done everything she could. She told her husband. He's the one that could have had him killed. But the Lord was with Joseph. And you know, if the whole world can be against you, but when God's for you, that don't mean that you're going to be out of debt tomorrow for it. That don't mean that you're going to wake up in the morning and you'll scratch off ticket 1 to 1 million. Don't mean all that. Brother Michael, that don't even mean tomorrow that heaven may come home tomorrow. But the Lord can be with you. I was up there Monday, and they put that pick, you know, pick line in her arm, and they give her a sedative before they could do that. Sister Emily's sitting on one side of the bed, and I was sitting on the other side of the bed. And I mean, when she's awake and cutting up with me and everything, you know, if I reach down there and kiss her, she'll wipe it off. And I'd start to reach up and just touch her, and I just feel like every time if I touch her, I hurt her. I don't want to hurt her. She is so precious. And I'm going to tell you something I've watched. For 6 months, I've watched the Lord be with Micah and Emily Van Zandt. Joseph was in prison and didn't see all that. And she's at the hospital right now and don't see that. And tonight, he'll stand by a bedside of a little girl that stomach's hurting her. And all she knows is say, she'll break into tears, I'm telling you, brother. She'll go into tears. She'll say, my stomach. Am I telling it right, Brother Michael? And he'll stand there and go rubbing her stomach. She'll be all right. But until she goes to sleep, next time you get feeling sorry for yourself now, until she goes to sleep, if it takes an hour or 3 hours or 5 hours, he's got to stand right there and rub that baby's belly. You know what a good daddy does? He stands right there and rubs that belly. Because the Lord is with him. He was worried about his faith. He was worried about his testimony. What will they think? What will they think? What will they think if they find out these things about me? We see the presence of God in his life. But the Lord, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. But nobody else liked him. Listen, you ain't never been to prison before, have you? All you do, you just need to go. There ain't nobody there that is going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Everybody there has got enemies. Brother Ronell, please help me. If you go, you go. I promise you, they're going to be somebody that don't like you. You ain't got to do nothing. The Lord can give you favor. You ain't got to do nothing. They're going to be people that don't like you. But boy, when that presence of God's there, it'll protect you. It'll protect you. It'll keep you on your feet. Amen. It'll keep your mind square with God. I wonder during this time how many times that Joseph must have reflected back of with Dad talking about how good God had been to him. I mean, he done got up where he was old enough. He'd heard things that he could have remembered, stories that his dad had told him about God blessing him and his home and how that he provided for him and everything. You know, Brother Darnell, he had to hold on to that. He had to treasure that and use that and depend on that to go another mile while he's in the depths of a prison. That's what happens to me and you. That's what happens to us. Sometimes we get to thinking, boy, I'm just like you are. Now, please don't think I'm not. I'm just like you. I get feeling sorry for myself sometimes. Nobody knows what I'm going through. You know how you... I don't know what I'm going through down there. Is me and Sister Julie the only ones that feel like that? Thank y'all. A little raising of the hands would help me, Sister Julie, right there, wouldn't it? Amen. Everybody nodding their head. We don't know what that means. But thank you, Brother Donnie. Amen. Me, us three. And, but here he is now. That he's able to pray. And he's able to get off by himself, maybe. I don't know. The keeper of the prison said, I like you. Seems like everything you do, God touches it. I don't know. I mean, what could you do in prison to let people see that what you do, God blesses it, unless you was on the work program?
Yeah.
Unless... Now, they used to, preacher was talking about Don Gibbs preaching last night, talking about conviction. And there's a word that come off conviction. It used to be used. You can't use it no more because it's not politically correct. A convict. That's it. A convict was convicted. Is that right? Huh? And you see him on road crews. And I guess, I think in Charlton County, you might still do it over there. Maybe it's, but I know this. When he's by himself and he's praying, do you think he was praying? Do you think he was praying for the kind of things me and you pray for? I don't think so. I think he prayed that somehow or another God would be glorified in his life. What he got. The presence of God. The presence of God. It was just so real. It was just so big. It was so powerful. It was so big. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that was in prison. And whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. All the hose that was, the rows that was hoed, all the grass that was cut, all the seeds that was planted, it was all his idea. So what do you think? Why do you think he was so much over a garden? I believe he's over a garden for this reason right here. They had to feed these people. And there wasn't, ain't no place to get food back during times like that except plant a garden. And Joseph, if you remember, if you did read your Bible one time or another somewhere along the way of your Christian life, you do remember that Joseph knew how to store up grain. Joseph knew, Brother Mike, God had given him something down in the depths. He wasn't of this society that we live in now where everybody's got their hands held out. They gimme, 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 gimme. I wouldn't have ever paid that hotel bill today and some folk walked in there and was wanting them to give them a room. I knew who they were. When I seen them, I went, hi, bye. I didn't want to be there when they got turned down. Sin got them where they were. So you don't know that. Oh, I do know that. I know them. Sin got them where they were. I ain't going to take God's money and bail them out. I sure ain't going to take my money and bail them out. Amen. Sin got them where they were. But sin didn't put Joseph there. Sin didn't put Joseph there. Say, what put him there? What put him there was God letting Joseph be a great example for me and you to know that no matter where we are and no matter what we go through, no matter what falls in our lot of life, if you will, God will be with us. He will stand with us. He will carry us. Hey, and if you end up down there at the jailhouse, He'll take care of you then. And it might not be you, but it might be you. And it might even be him. And it might just drive you to your knees. And while he's down there, he might not know how to pray. But you better learn to pray. And you better stay on your knees and get a hedge of protection about him. Somebody was praying for Joseph. All I did was my heart and my life tonight that it was dead.
Right.
Terry Pace preached the message. Terry Pace preached the message talking about Joseph. Whenever them boys went to Egypt, the brothers came to Egypt and they came and they looking for corn. And whenever they went to Egypt, they met Joseph. Now, they're in a real dilemma. Because they've already lied one time about their brother being dead. Now, they got to go home and tell their dad that the man in charge of dispersing grain is Joseph. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's big to me. I'm thinking, you know what First time popped in my mind, I was like, Daddy's going to beat me to death. I might have got away with it for a little while, but I'm telling you, nobody's going to recognize me when he gets done. And they went home and they told that old dad, they said, good news, Joseph's not dead. Not dead. Old Terry Pace is preaching that. He took his jacket off. He said he still got that bloody coat. He said he grabbed up that old bloody coat. He said, this ain't my boy's blood. He said, this must be the blood of a bull or a goat or something. He said, this ain't my boy's blood. He said, my boy's alive. I'm thinking on that third day, after everybody thought it was all over with for the Lord Jesus. And they thought he wasn't going to go nowhere. And they put guards at the tomb and they sealed the tomb and they done everything they could. They hired people to lie on the Lord. But on that third day, whenever Martha goes back to the tomb, Mary goes back to the tomb, and he ain't there. John, he recorded it, he said this here. Said she seen him. She seen him there. She said she supposed him to be a gardener. I like that word garden. I said this one time before. I looked that word garden. I think the word garden is in the Bible 52 times. 52 times, Brother Jeff. 52 times. Gardens is in the Bible. I believe it's. I'm going to have to look behind myself now to make sure. But I've used it before. Gardens is in the Bible 12 times. Best I remember from school, they're 52 weeks in a year, and it's 12 months in a year. You really could plant a garden year-round if you're planting the right stuff and don't live in some God-forsaken, iced over part of the country. Amen. I mean, you don't see nobody growing tomatoes in Alaska. Just come on, be real about it. But there's only one garden there ever mentioned. The Bible said that she supposed him to be the gardener. And he said, whom seekest thou? And she told him, she says, tell me where you've taken him. And she starts to walk off. He said, Mary.
she'd heard that voice before. Amen. She'd heard that voice before. You recognize her voice, don't you? I mean, you ain't got to see her. You just recognize the voice. Yeah. She heard that voice, and she turned around, Brother Hurtis, and she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. She recognized him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying tonight that God might take you through something if you wonder why you're there. And whatever it is, no matter how bad it could be, no matter how bad it could be, no matter how bad it could be, for years he thought his boy was dead. For years, them boys had lied to their dad and told him that he got killed. For years he prayed, yes, God, just give him some peace on this stuff. Just some confirmation, just some settlement. And it's come. It come. It come when he started to send them boys back with stuff. He says, you go get, he said, you leave Benjamin here and you go get my dad. Huh? You go get that one. You I wonder. I don't know, Brother Darnell, how things goes in heaven as far as conversation and stuff. But every once in a while, there'll be a young one that'll go home mm-hmm. to be with the Lord. And every once in a while, you know that young one. I don't know, again, about conversation goes in heaven. But I wonder every once in a while, does the Lord Jesus or God the Father might say something to the Holy Ghost? Why don't you go get your father? Let him come up here and let him know where everything's all right.
Amen.
I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
But I know this, wherever you're at, whatever you go through, God will be with you.
Amen.
He promised He would, didn't He?
Amen.
Did He say it?
Yeah.
Did He say it?
Yeah.
Did He say it?
Yeah.
Why do we doubt Him? I sang that the other night. There's no need to doubt Him now. I say, let's just go on with Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go on with God. Let's go on with the church. Just go on trusting Him. Just go on and put our faith in Him. Just go ahead and depend on Him. Just go ahead and live for Him. That out there won't do it. I've tried it. I'm telling you. I've tried it. All I done was got beat up and scarred and hurt and no help. Well, when I got back home, bless the name of the Lord. I'm glad He loves me. Let's all stand together. Amen. Brother Don, dismiss us, please.